In triumph you ascended to the highest heaven. Abandon us not to be orphans, but keep your Father's promise to send your Spirit of truth. You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our first reading this evening is from Acts chapter 1, beginning in the 12th verse. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All of these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, and the company of persons was in about 120 in all, and he said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now, this man acquired a field with the reward for his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that Jesus went out and in among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to the resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed. And they said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show us which one you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go into his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our responsive reading tonight is Psalm 68, the first 10 verses. "Let us arise, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered.
Let those who hate him flee before him.
Let them vanish like smoke when the wind drives it away.
As the wax melts at the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God.
But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God.
Let them also be merry and joyful.
Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides upon the heavens.
Yahweh is his name. Rejoice before him.
Fathers of orphans, defender of widows. God gives the solitary a home, and he brings forth prisoners into freedom.
But the rebels shall live in dry places.
O God, when you went forth before your people,
when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth shook and the skies poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai.
At the presence of God, the God of Israel.
You sent a gracious rain, O God, upon your inheritance.
You refreshed the land when it was weary.
Your people found their home in it.
In the goodness, O God, you have made provision for the poor.
Our second reading tonight is from 1 Peter with various verses, as you can see, from chapters 4 and 5. We start with chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes to rest and test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is a time for judgment to begin in the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what then will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
You notice it might be a little odd that we're not singing the Alleluia in the gospel reading. Tonight I am going to be preaching on 1 Peter. And if you have your bulletins, if you want to look at verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Well, grace and peace be with each of you from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If I was to put a title to my sermon tonight, it would be Suffering. Suffering. So I have a question for you. Who would like to live in Pasco? Have any of you ever lived in Pasco? Do any of you know where Pasco is? Oh, who said that? Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times when we think of Pasco, the way I addressed you in the sermon is we might think it's up north, right? Up by Duluth, on the Iron Range, maybe. Maybe it's a big city. Maybe it's just one of those little small towns. Tonight I'm going to give you a little riddle, and riddles, as you know, you need to figure out the meaning to those riddles. And for those of you that live in Rochester, who wants to live in Pasco is the question. Jesus often told riddles in the New Testament, and so I'm going to give you a test and see if you can pick up the riddle. I like coffee, but I don't like tea. I like Bill, but I can't stand Clinton. I like Concordia College, but St. Thomas rubs me the wrong way. I like wood, but I don't like trees. Did you figure it out? I tried to give you a little bit of a hint. You see, anything that had a T in it, I didn't like. Huh? So I'm going to talk about Paschal tonight, and I'm going to give you a part A and a part B. Part A is there's an elderly couple. She developed Alzheimer's. She lived in a nursing home, and for 15 years, her husband faithfully visited with her. And everybody thought she would go first. But as you know what happens, he had a massive heart attack and died. And she lived for many years. It was a long-suffering experience for everyone. But it wasn't Paschal. She was age 33, she was blonde, and she was beautiful. And she developed cancer. And she would go to the cancer center to get treatments, and she had kind of this regiment. And part of the regiment is that she'd get treatment, and then on every Wednesday, she would meet me at the church, and we'd get in the sanctuary, and we would have communion together. But gradually, the cancer got the best of her, and she died 6 months later. It was really a tough funeral. There was lots of suffering. But it wasn't Paschal. There was a tornado that struck Texas and it killed 45. I happen to know the Catholic priest that served that parish. I felt terrible for him because all of those 45 that had perished were all from his parish. There was lots of wailing, lots of suffering. But it wasn't Paschal. Oh, this guy was just on the move. He bought himself a real nice sports car. He was driving down the highway just enjoying life, you know, had the top down. It was starting to get a little dusk. All of a sudden, a deer jumped out, went right through his windshield, and killed him instantly. He was too young to die. Everyone cried, everyone suffered, but it was not Paschal. What is Paschal? Well, you see, that's part A, and I'm going to give you part B. It was a nasty, nasty, nasty divorce. They fell out of love, and there was an affair. It just got really nasty. The grandparents were very upset because now they could no longer see the grandchildren. The grandparents were upset for all the loss of the divorce of their child, the loss of their grandchildren. But it was not Paschal. He was a driver. He was driven. He had a type A personality. You know those people, right? Top-notch engineer. He had a lot of drive. He worked 6 days a week, 10-hour days. And he smoked, he drank, no exercise. All of a sudden, heart attack. His business associates were just devastated. There was lots of suffering, but it was not Paschal. Ah, this happened in Iowa. The farmer looked at his yields that he was getting, and they weren't really up to speed. He wasn't kind of making money. But he decided to join the trend of the other farmers, and that was to use lots of pesticides. And for years, they used pesticides on the fields. It was really good. For him, he made lots of money. It was good for the local economy. But you see, there was an increase in cancer and deaths in their community. In every funeral, no one would wanted to even talk about, could it be pesticides? because that meant they would have to change their lives. There was lots of suffering, but it wasn't Pasco. It is a riddle. What is Pasco? Pasco, when you study the Greek, and I know I got Fred over there, he's a Greek scholar. Pasco stands for suffering. Suffering. The four times in our text for today, 1 Peter, he says that we are to share in Christ's suffering, that we are to suffer with Jesus Christ. He tells us that we really are to have the same experience of suffering and that it is something that is required of all Christians to experience suffering with their brothers and sisters throughout the world. And yes, you're right, Pasco is in Washington. But it is also a Greek word for suffering. When you read this text, the Bible says that unless a person suffers with and for Christ, that person is not a Christian. Think of that. So what is Christian suffering that is required of us Christians? Well, I gave you part A. And you see, part A just happens because we happen to be human beings, right? We don't necessarily want to get cancer, but we do get cancer. Disasters happen, right? Unexpected things happen that take our life. And all of us, we know that someday all of us are going to die, 100%, right? It's just that we're human. Part B is the suffering that I would say is the consequences of sin and foolish actions and decisions that people make, such as a very terrible divorce or having a type A personality where you're just not going to enjoy life. You got only one goal, and it's probably making money. And the other one is being foolish about how we use our resources, like pesticides, to gain a few extra bucks. But there's actually three forms of suffering in this world. Part A, being a human being, right? We all suffer because we're human. Part B, because we sin. And now part C. That's Pasco. It's what we call Christian suffering. What's interesting about the Bible is the Bible says that when you have this kind of suffering, that you and I are to rejoice in our suffering. Think of that for a second. In this type of suffering, we are to rejoice. Christian suffering is, and I have to underline it, it's something that is required of all Christian brothers and sisters. And so what is this suffering that we need to engage in around the world? In the Bible, there's lots of references to this type of suffering. When you look at 1 Peter, it says Christians are to endure pain while suffering unjustly. Another reference to 1 Peter, it is better to suffer from doing what is right than for doing wrong. 2 Timothy says, take your share of suffering as a soldier of Christ. Another reference to 2 Timothy says, do not be ashamed at testifying to the Lord, but take your share of suffering for the gospel. We are aware of the suffering that Jesus had on the cross for you and I. And as Christians, we are also to take up our crosses and to follow Christ. You see, to suffer as a Christian is to enter into the suffering of those around you. Pasco, what I'm trying to get at tonight, is to enter into that loving relationship of suffering with those around you. Let me give you some more examples. When I was in high school, a senior by the name of Stacy was on a hay wagon ride with a bunch of her friends, and they were really enjoying a hayride travel. How many of you ever been on a hay wagon? Yeah. It's kind of fun, right? They were really having fun. Well, Stacy decided to jump off the hay wagon, and they happened to be on a highway. And just as she jumped off, guess what was coming by? A car. And it hit her. And she was put on all kinds of life support. You remember the Quinlan case? It happened at the same time as when Stacy had this. She was put on all this stuff. Her mother would go and visit her every single day at every type of different situation. As a young kid in high school, I was devastated that my best friend, Stacy, had to live like this. But what I was surprised is it was not only her mother that would visit her, but it was a family out of our congregation by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Burdick. They would go and visit Stacy, and they would pray for her and help her anyway. And she's living today. Huh? She's living today. And the only thing I can say, the reason that she's living today, is because of love and people entering into her suffering. Then there was Ted and Mildred Olson. Mildred had this terrible arthritis. And Ted took care of her, and then suddenly, bam, he had a heart attack and he died. And guess who showed up? The Burdicks. The Burdicks from our congregation. I'm thinking, don't you have enough to do with Stacy? Oh, no. They came and they took care of Mildred, and they would play cards with her. She liked to play pinochle, even though her hands were like this. Huh? What I'm trying to suggest to you, that the Burdicks' drive was always to Pasco every single day. Some would say that they actually lived in Pasco, but Pasco, you see, was a part and is a part of their daily life. Jesus said again, rejoice when you share in Christ's suffering, and do it out of love. Harold Wise had Alzheimer's. His wife Hazel would go and visit him every single day. Matter of fact, it was kind of like living in St. Charles, but having to drive to the big city like Rochester. And she didn't like driving, but she was committed to going and visiting her husband every single day. And when she needed a break, she kind of reached out to her Christian friends in the church, and she said, you know, I really need a break. I want to go visit my sister. I don't think I can leave Harold. And the Johnsons stepped in, and they go, we'll cover you. Entering into Pasco. You see, at the very heart of the Christian spirit is living in and experiencing Pasco. The whole book of Peter said that there is no greater joy than sharing in the love and pain of life with your brothers and sisters. Now we know that when we drive around the city of Pasco, we know as Christians that we're always going to be persecuted. We're always going to be made fun of. Oh, you guys are way too religious. Do you really believe all that stuff? I think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, right? Look at all the suffering that was going on in Germany. But he entered into the suffering, and we are so happy that he left such great writings on what it meant to be a Christian community. Now, you and I remember yesteryear in America where two-thirds of everybody belonged to a church. Remember those days? And for those that didn't belong to a church, they were kind of shunned, kind of looked at like, what's wrong with you? Or they would maybe look at you as like, well, you're really not committed to the Christian walk, are you? But today, here in America, Christians are ridiculed for using the name of Jesus Christ in any of our conversations. Again, people say we're too religious, or we might offend somebody, or we feel it's too awkward. You see, we Christians often suffer because we still do what is right because we are Christians. And there are many times that we make choices about right and wrong, and we suffer because of those. I'm telling you that the worst thing that we can ever do is to not speak up in the things that we say and in the things that we do. I think of the Burdicks. I think of Hazel going to see her husband every single day, Harold. There was so much suffering around us in the world. And as followers of Christ, we embrace those people in their houses, in their churches, in their neighborhoods, and people all over the place. So I need to ask you, I started out by asking, how many of you would like to live in Pasco? How many of you would rather live in Washington, Seattle? That Pasco. You see, that Pasco is one where you just think about yourself. Me, myself, and I. You just don't get engaged. But Jesus said, happy are those people who understand the joy of sharing in the suffering and the pain of life with others. So, in Pasco, it is the city of suffering. And Jesus invites us to go there. Amen. Let us join our voices as we sing the hymn of the day. Lord, let my heart be good soil. You to please rise and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
In Now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you call us together as a church, as a people from around the globe, and we are one in Christ, but still we suffer divisions and separation. For the sake of your glory, we pray you strengthen our witness and make us bold to proclaim the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of righteousness, as we prepare to celebrate Memorial Day, keep us mindful of all those who have died in military service. We pray that you teach us to use the freedoms for which they fought to defend all of those in service to others. Bring us to that day when peace is not won through war, but through your eternal reign. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to you for the vocations that you grant to all of your people. We ask that you keep safe from harm and danger all of those whose work is dangerous. We hold you before you in prayer, those who have answered the call to military service especially. We pray that you will grant them the completion of their duty and that they may return home safely. We pray that you will be with the families who wait and watch for their homecoming. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we know that you are the great physician and you bring healing to those suffering, those in want, the victims of abuse, and those who are depressed, anxious, those with estranged families, for those who are ill or hospitalized. And now we pray particularly for those who are on the prayer list of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and for those we name now either silently in our heart or aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.